You know this, that the process of growth and change can be hard, right? Not for my little guy. He loves change. He's a great little guy. You've probably you've put your pants on the same way most of your career. When you go home tonight and you get up in the morning, I want you to try the opposite leg first. I tried it this morning and it's not very easy. Because I thought I'd at least try it out before I got here this morning. But you know that. Left leg or right leg first, person. Don't try it now, okay? Don't try it now. But you might not even know. But the fact is, you've probably been doing it that way for a long time. How many of you are morning people? You still don't know, do you? how many of you are night people? Some of you don't know whether you're a morning or a night person. You're going to have to figure that one out pretty quick. I'm definitely a morning person. Thursday night I went to camp and saw the kids. And then I went to see a friend who went to Moody Bible Institute with me in Chicago 50 years ago or 47 years ago. He lives in Monument now. I stayed up till 11:45 with him. Got up about 5:30, drove to Denver. Had lunch or had breakfast with a friend, and I went over and got my brother and sister-in-law, or sister and brother-in-laws. And then I played golf with another friend that I grew up with in youth group, and we got done. We started at 2. We had about an hour rain delay, and then we got done about 8 o'clock, and we had awards, and we had dinner, and I got home about 11:45. That's too much for a morning guy, all right? I'm still pretty weary from all that. I did sleep in on Monday morning or Saturday morning. Usually I can't do that. Some of you men, you've parted your hair on the same side for many, many years. Some of us don't have to worry about that anymore. It's just wash and go, man. Just wash and go. One thing we've learned, though, is that, man, it gets cold in the wintertime. You got to wear a beanie because your head gets cold because there's no hair to hold that heat in. But try parting it on the other side tomorrow, okay? Just see how it looks, how it works for you. We're creatures of habit, and change and growth is hard for us. Some of you, you've got to have that cup of coffee in the morning. Came across this week. Heavenly Father, thank you that your mercies are new every morning, that thy faithfulness extends to all generations, and that the first cup of coffee in the morning is a very present help in the time of need. Some of you know that. You have to have that cup of coffee to be able to get you going, and maybe 3 or 4 cups of coffee to get you going. Some of you like change, but my guess is comes a point where, okay, that's enough. Some of you just don't like change. You like things to be steady eddy, moving right along, just as it should be for you. So with this thought of change and growth, I want to take a couple Sundays to introduce you to our new mission statement and core values and some ways we can support and we can act on the new values we are presenting to you. I did mention to you that there are sheets look like this. Some of them are yellow, some are green that you can pick up if you would like to know more about some of those steps. So I'm going to tell you, this is not going to be a typical sermon, okay? This is going to be a thematic, topical sermon filled with scripture. Because it's our basis for how we live and how we work. But it's not going to be typical to what we do. So follow along. You'll stay with that. I think you'll understand I'm telling you a story. Because I am. I'm telling you a story of how this has come about. And I think that you will enjoy the story. I presented this information to you. The same sheet of paper in different ways. But I presented that same thing to you on May 12th. Sunday, May 12th. You had a chance to look at it, and then we had a member meeting on the 19th. And at that member meeting, there were about 50 of you were there. And at that member meeting, the congregation, the body, affirmed that this is a good way to go. So maybe for some of you this is new, but if you were here during those times, you could have looked at this information and you could have seen what it's all about. But I'm presenting it to you today. In November of 2022... we started what we called the next step process. Back in 2019, I was privileged to be able to be a part of a training session with this through a group, a national group called Exano. And I had the opportunity to join about 30 other people from our Colorado Baptists and to get trained in how to present and help churches go through this next step process. Exano, the Greek word exano, means to continue to grow or to increase. And I think it communicates change in our lives. To continue to grow is going to mean that change takes place in our life. And this process that Exano put together is to help churches to evaluate where they are and to see how they can make improvements to what they're doing and what God wants to do in their midst. It was a great process for us, and we're thankful for this. Many of you know this verse from Proverbs chapter 29. In the King James, it says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." Most of you have probably heard that verse. And so I'm casting vision for you today in who we are and what we want to do and how we want to move forward and how you can join us in that process. And as I think about it and as I was putting things together, I introduced this next step process after going through the training in 2019. I introduced it to our chairman or our board of elders in about 2022. It took me a couple years to kind of get to the point where I was ready to take it on. One of the reasons I took it on is because I needed a push. I needed a push for myself as your pastor and as your friend and your shepherd. I needed a push to help us kind of push ourselves kind of into a little bit different waters. Many things stay the same. They're not big changes, but I just needed to push myself to develop who I am. We kind of have a saying around our house. It goes something like this. I used to be indecisive, but now I'm not so sure. In our family, making decisions is not the easiest thing we do. I'm an evaluator. I look at kind of things and I process it. And you typically make decisions very fast. I made one the other day. I made one very fast. I couldn't believe that I actually did. And it cost money too. But that's just not who I am. I evaluate things. And as a pastor, I evaluate things on the whole because I have to. How does this impact us as a whole? So for me, it took a while to get going and say, this is what I think we need to do. I believe this is something that God wants us to look into and to process it. The second reason why I introduced it and was kind of a little bit, cautious toward it, I knew that it would take a lot of work to do this. I knew that it would cost me a number of nights. And I knew whoever was on the team, it would cost us a number of nights being away from our family to be able to put a plan together like this. So it was a little bit hard in that. The third thing is this. At that point, we'd plateaued as a church. I look at the stats. I process them every week. What our giving is, what our attendance is, how it impacts us, and who's in Sunday school. I look through those things because I want to know those. I care for you. I love you. You're part of my life. And I want to help you and grow you too. And we plateaued as a church. I have people come into me. I have people come and say, we're growing. No, we're not growing. We're staying the same. About, right now we have about 3 or 4 families who'll be moving this summer. We'll miss them. And that will be something that we'll need God to provide new people to take their place and be a part of us. But we plateaued. And my prayer and my thought was, I hope that maybe a biblical and maybe a little philosophical breath of fresh air will help us in this journey to keep growing. You know what? We have empty seats today. I don't know about you, but as a pastor, I'd love to have these seats full. I don't know if you do because you hadn't responded with a yes there or anything like that. But wouldn't you rather have all the seats full of people hearing the gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ? As long as they have the seats, I can bring in another 40, 50 chairs. I'd love to have them full of people who want to follow Jesus and to love him and to grow with him. Because we want to reach them. We want to help them to follow and connect with the Lord Jesus Christ. The fourth thing was this. I knew that it would be something that would be hard to work on. And I knew the process would be good for us, but I also knew this. I knew that to implement it, the practice of it might be harder than the process. I knew that. To implement it, I knew that the possibility, the planning of it, the practice of it, getting it into order, could be harder than what the process was. Because you've all worked a job. You know how it is. Maybe your boss comes in with a great idea. You're all excited about it. Or maybe you're the boss. You're all excited about your idea. But it's hard to get it going. And it's hard to keep it going. Discipline's hard. Because we have this tendency sometimes to back off from things, and it's hard to get them going, to be intentional to make it keep going and growing among us. So I took all these ideas I learned, and I presented them to our elder team, and we agreed to move forward, and we chose the next step team. And you can see the names of the people there up on the screen that were a part of it. There we go. Hannah Archuleta, Nicole Garrison, Rita Payline, Dave Feemster, Drew Jones, Steve Mullenhauer, Jason Brashear. These are elders now. Jason Brashear, Bruce Barrett, Johnny Dasher, Chuck Orr, Don Worthington, and myself. So we tried to get a broad range of people in our church, various ages, and being able to put them together and start on this process together with our elder teams. Now, if you're feeling kind of left out of this process right now, just go and look at the charts over here. Everything on the wall over here. That's our work over there, okay? Now you might look at it and go, you know, I don't feel so bad that they didn't pick me. It was a lot of Tuesdays. A lot of work. We would meet at 5 p.m. at Tuesday. Work for about 2 hours. And then we had elder team meeting after that. So it was a long Tuesday night. 4 to 5 hours. And the Tuesday nights once a month that we met. And sometimes when we worked through things and we had meetings with other people, we had to meet other times too. So I know you're not feeling really bad that you didn't get picked. All right? But if you do, you can share that with me. The next one, I'll put you on it. Okay? It's a lot of work. Took a lot of work. But we had a lot of fun in being together, looking at who we are and what God's doing in our midst. And we're grateful for that. We were guided in our next step journey by a friend of mine, a colleague, Bill Leidy, and the work that he did with us. The duck's up there, Jeffrey. That's later. Okay. So, Bill works for the Parks Peak Baptist Association. He's a regional director for that area. He's also pastor Chapel Hills Baptist Church for 21 years up in Colorado Springs. And he served before that. Has a doctorate, has a D.Min. at a New Orleans seminary, one of our Southern Baptist seminaries. He's just a really, really good friend. And he's trained. He's our Next Step coordinator for Colorado. This is what he does. He goes to churches. He's done about 20, 25 churches, guiding them through these next steps of seeking to strengthen their leadership, strengthen their leadership goals. He would drive down from Colorado Springs every meeting to Pueblo West, and he'd usually bring some cookies to sweeten the meeting up just a little bit. And so we're grateful for Bill and how he helped us. But this is what we were trying to do. Proverbs 19:20. Listen to advice. Whoa, go back to that one. There we go. Listen to advice and accept instruction that you may gain wisdom in the future. That's what we're trying to do. That's how we grow too. All of us in the same thing. Listen to instruction and accept instruction. Listen to those who know. Listen to the Word of God. And then let's grow in that so that we might have wisdom in the future. That sounds like a pretty good goal, doesn't it? We all want that. Are you with me? Okay. You're kind of quiet out there. I don't know if I'm putting you to sleep already or what. But that's what we want to have happen in our lives. To accept what God has for us from those who know and can help us. And can help us grow. So we began in November 2022 with discussing topics like this. Who are we? And who is our community? We need to do a little bit of dissecting them so we understand who we want to reach and who those people are. We ask questions like this. Would our community miss us if we were not in existence? Or does our community even know we're in existence? And if they don't know that Majestic Baptist Church is right here and that 300 people are right here from their community, we're not catching like we should be catching them. We ask questions like this. What are we good at? What do we do well? But we also ask them the opposite question. What are we not so good at? Are there ways that we can improve? Because we want to do a better job of giving Jesus Christ to the people around us. What do we look like now? And what do we want to look like in the future? That's so important to be able to think through those things. This is who we are, but what do we want to look like in the future as God leads us and helps us to reach people? What are our ministries that are internal inside the church? What are our ministries that are external outside the church? And we had some fun too. If we were a car, what kind of car would we be? We determined we're not a Porsche, just so you know, okay? But we ask those questions, plus a whole bunch more, to try to determine where we're going. So we reviewed our former mission statement, which is really easy to remember. LLMC, it's on your bulletin every time. Read it with me if you would. Living for Jesus, loving people, making disciples, changing the world. We've had that mission statement since 2011. Some of the people here were kind of on that to be able to bring that to us. It's a really good mission statement. We want to live for Jesus. Maybe one of the phrases that we've been working on will help us to know that. Jesus, help me out. Nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. We'll do it again. Jesus, nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. That's who we want to be as individuals of the congregation, lifting high Jesus, because he's who we need to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness above everything else. Loving people, easy to do. The Great Commission, or the Great Commandment, as Jesus gave it, Mark chapter 12. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then do what? Love your neighbor as yourself. That's what we're to do. We wanted to love people. We're going to make disciples, Matthew chapter 28, 19. Go therefore make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Spirit, and teach them to observe everything I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. That's our goal. That's what we want to be involved in as a church, making disciples, helping people to grow in Christ, and then changing the world. We want to see the work we do make a difference in the world so that people come to know Jesus Christ. As was said of the disciples, they turned the world upside down because they lived out Jesus and they pursued him and they pursued loving people and giving them the gospel of Jesus Christ, of what he's done for us. We also reviewed our core values as we had put them together. And if you've been through our membership 101 class, you would have known these core values. You would have heard these core values. They spell majestic. You can see that it's up there. But we said this. We want to be mission involved. I don't use the word minded because I don't want us to think about missions. I want us to do missions, to be involved in it. And we have. You see all the flags out there, people we sent all over the world through the years, and the ministry to carry on, youth mission trip. We've got a Juarez trip that we take and build a house or a church. The various things we've done. Giving wise, man, we're great givers to missions. 20 to 25% of our budget goes toward missions just right off the top. We support our Southern Baptist ministry. We support 30 missionaries on top of that, like Ken and Andrea Jack, who will be with us. We support them. We help them. We help them give out the gospel where they're at. Secondly, we want to have assimilation as strategic. Assimilation means connecting people. You fill out those cards. You let us know you're here as a guest. You all follow up with a phone call. We'll follow up with a letter. Others can follow up with that. Carrying together, our deacons are doing a great job of connecting with one another, praying for people that are going through difficult times. But we want to be strategic in that. We want to center things on Jesus, obviously. Make him the focal point of what we do. We want to be excellent in our ministry. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, do it all to the glory of God. That's what we want to do. We want to make sure that when people come in, especially the worship service, that's the front door of the church, that they see that excellence is a part of what we want to do and grow in that. Let's see. Have excellence, M-A-J-E. The S, Sunday school and small groups. That's a way to make assimilation take place. That's how you connect with people in our church. Yes, we want to be friendly. We do a good job of that. Not all the time, but we work really hard at it. But we want you to have friends. And you're going to have to move toward that. You have to take those steps toward that. We'll help you. But you too have to open up your arms and say, I'd like to have friends here. I want this place to be important and valuable to me. Transformational discipleship. We want that to take place. See people transformed. That was our verse throughout our VBS. That you would not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to prove what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. To be able to do that, and to be a part of what God wants us to do. Verse I learned many years ago when I went to camp, Luke 2:52. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. That's what we want to have in our, to be transformed, to God to transform us. Intentional prayer, James chapter 5, verse 16. The fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We want to be involved in that. We have intentional prayer here. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Saturday morning to pray. People pray over those lists. We send out the prayer requests. Prayer is a big part of what we do, what God wants us to do. And last, change life preaching. We want the word to make a difference in your life, that it would help change you and transform you to be like Jesus. Because the word of God is profitable for correct, for training, for teaching and reproof and correction and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. That's what happened. Those were our core values, what we kind of set our sail toward, and to be able to do that. They are really good core values. They're descriptive, but there's too many of them. You can't remember those. We want you to be able to remember our mission statement, and we want you to be able to remember our core values so they're part of you and that you live them out with us and bring honor. So as we were meeting and we're discussing these ideas, keep flowing, and the flip charts were part of that as we wrote down all those things that God was doing. We were identifying statements and topics that characterize us, that were important, and to craft a new mission statement. And the core values coming out of that mission statement, and then plans and actions are part of it. So we took all that, and then we had what we called a wet cement meeting. We invited another 20 people from our leadership to come and to evaluate what we had done, the work. We learned something for that meeting. I didn't do a good job of preparing the people that were coming to the meeting. They didn't have the information before they got there, and they felt like it was kind of dumped on them. And that was my mistake of not getting the information to them. But we also learned this in the meeting. There was opposition to things we put together. There were some strong opposition to some of the statements that we made. Matter of fact, I had one of the persons that they were part of it come to me this afternoon or after the service and said, "It really looks a lot better than what you presented to begin with." Yeah, you're right. We felt a lot better about it too. But there were some things we needed to work on. We needed to change and change some language. And so we did. We took that meeting. We learned from it. We grew from it. We accepted instruction. Proverbs 19, as we said earlier. And then we reworked some things and put some different words today and worded things so it's a little bit less pushy, because that's kind of what we struggled with. I thought this was kind of good. Do not write on wet cement. And that wives, the first year, the wet cement principle. I think you can kind of figure that one out, right? Okay. So it's kind of fun. Then we took those ideas, we revised them, we took them to our Sunday school classes. And if you're in Sunday school 2 months, 3 months ago, you would have seen this. You would have had a chance to respond. Again, we're trying to find the sweet spot and to be able to get a cross-section of thoughts coming back to us. And we're trying to follow Scripture, Proverbs chapter 11, 14. Where there is no guidance, a people fall, but in an abundance of counselors there is safety. So we worked really hard to understand this process. What we did, a cross-section of people, a cross-section of people in a wet cement meeting, a cross-section of people in our leadership team, and through Sunday school to be able to get an idea. Are we going the right way? Does this seem right? Does this word well for us? And it was good to be able to do that. So this is what we came up with. This is why we exist. This is our mission statement. We are here to help every person connect with Jesus. We are here. That's why we exist as a church, to help every person connect with Jesus. Now, it's not, as the cartoon says, I'm not so sure what our church's mission statement is, but I think it's to keep everyone as busy as possible for as long as they are able. It's not that. We have many people involved, many people busy serving, and we are so grateful for you. Thank you so much. Some of you don't have a serve. And I'll just be straightforward. It's time for you to have a serve. It's time for you to get involved with us. But we're not trying to keep you busy. We're trying to do what God's called us to do, to make disciples by helping every person connect with Jesus Christ. And we're all gifted to be able to do that and to serve one another and to care for one another. So that's kind of what we came up with. And that was what the lady who came to me commented. That's a much better mission statement than what you presented to us about 5 months ago. And I said, I agree with you. I totally agree with you. It's a much better mission statement. Our statement applies to those who don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, because they need Jesus, right? Everybody needs Jesus. It's in the Word of God. That's why Jesus came, right? He didn't come to be served. He came to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. He came to seek and save the lost. I'm working Scripture in here really well. That's why Jesus came. He wants every person to connect with him. Just like you connected with Jesus somehow, probably because somebody connected you to Jesus. And you should be thankful for that, all right? Amen? Thank you for that person that connected me to Jesus and connected you to Jesus. Because every person needs it. 2 Peter chapter 3, we just got through going to 2 Peter, right? Where he says this, he's not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance. Chapter 3, verse 9. Not willing that any would perish, spend eternity away from him, but he wants all to come into a relationship with him through repentance and to be able to do that. So the mission statement covers that. We're here to help every person connect with Christ, those that don't need Christ. Think of how Jesus did that. Mark 10, talked to him in VBS, the rich young ruler. Jesus wanted to connect him to himself and to the Father, and he said no. I hope he said yes later. But at that moment with Jesus, he didn't connect with Jesus. He went away sorrowful because he couldn't let go of what he needed to let go to find Jesus. What about the promiscuous young woman at the well in John chapter 4? She connected with Jesus, praise God, and she brought a community to Jesus. And what about others in Scripture? What about the dying thief on the cross? Man, you know, you talk about a deathbed conversion. He said, yes, I want you, Jesus. And Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. And what about Paul, that man named Saul, murderer of Christians, all in his region. And he goes on that road to Damascus to go get more Christians and persecute them. And God speaks to him and brings them unto himself. The gospel, we're here to connect every person with Jesus Christ and to help them have this life with him. But everyone who's come to know Christ, including you and us, right? What's the next step? We want to connect with him further. We want to keep growing in Jesus Christ. We want to have the change that he wants in our life. We want to be able to say, I believe in the name of Jesus, as we sang earlier. Not just sing it, we want to believe it. That's why the song says, I believe. For that whole purpose, that we would grow closer to him and follow him more closely. How about what we've done this? Count Zinzendorf in the 1700s, back in Europe, he said this, I have but one passion. It is he alone. That's what God wants of us. That we would be his one obsession. Even Stephen Curtis sang it that way. Our passion would be Jesus Christ and him alone. We have this statement, haven't used it in a long time, but the only thing more costly than disobedience is what? Yeah, we need to get this one back out. The only thing more costly than disobedience in Christian life is obedience. It's going to cost us something to follow Jesus Christ and to love him. What about the words? My late brother-in-law said this, I want to want what you want, Lord. Let your desires be mine. I want to want what you want, Lord. Let your desires be mine. Or to proclaim like Peter, he's with Jesus. Jesus talked about the bread of life, following him. And people started turning away because it was too hard to follow. And Peter says to him, Jesus says to him, to Peter, he says, "And are you going to walk away too?" Peter says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we have believed and have come to know you, that you are the Holy One of God, that we would state those things as we grow in him. Or Paul in Philippians chapter 3, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining toward forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the upward goal, call of God in Christ Jesus. We want to grow. We want to change. We want to become more like Jesus Christ. If you don't know Jesus today, man, today's the day to connect with him, to say yes to him, follow him. Say, Lord, I've sinned. I admit that I'm a sinner, and I want to repent. I want to turn from my sin. I want to turn to you. Lord, I believe that you, Jesus, are the Son of God, and that you died on the cross for me. You gave my life. And I'm going to confess my faith in you. I want to say yes to you. I want to follow you. I want you to be my Savior and forgive my sin and give me eternal life. But if you know Jesus, what is the next step you're going to take? What's the next step God has for you? The Lordship step. to say, you're my master, you're my director, and this is the way I'm going to demonstrate that for you. Some of our students are going to come up in just a little bit, and they're going to tell you about what God did in their life at camp. Man, exciting first service report. That's why we exist now. We want to help every person, what? Connect with Jesus. We might get this one down over the years, right? We want to help every person connect with Jesus. And in that, our core values, and I'll cover these more next week. But we want to be gospel-centered. The gospel, what Jesus Christ did in his death, burial, and resurrection, and can do for us. That's not just a saving thing, that's a daily thing, to be connected to him through the gospel of Jesus Christ. We want to live to follow Jesus and share the gospel. Secondly, we want to love people, seeking to meet their needs by loving and serving them. Did you hear any opportunity to be able to do that this morning? That video, care portal? That's a way to get involved in people's lives. We don't know them, but needs are going to come to us. They're going to come through our Department of Health Services. They want to work with us, if you can believe that. They want to work with churches to meet these needs. And we can do that by serving them and loving them. We want the Spirit to transform lives as we connect individuals to Jesus through loving relationships. And fourthly, we want to be mission involved by taking the good news throughout our community, state, and the world. I wrote down some of those things we've done in the past. Aaron Bozell right now is on a mission trip to see how his medical supply ministry, how they're using those things in Uganda. And he's preaching and he's teaching while he's there. We've sent him as a part of what we've done in sending these 40-foot containers full of medical supplies to Africa through the years. Be the Church, we did that on Memorial Day Sunday. So we went out and served about six people. Helped them with a deck, helped them with taking down trees. All those sorts of things to say, Jesus loves you through us. Trunk or Treat, 1,000 people almost come through. We have the opportunity to give them the gospel, hand them a life book, and share Jesus with them. Fellowship of Christian Athletes, a ministry that Elisha does on campus, and others have been involved in at Pueblo West High School to be able to be a part of their lives. Our camp and the work that God did there. Juarez, we've been there, 20 times over the last 22 years. And then all the missionaries we support, we're a part of that. How do we reach them? Because we want to be mission involved with them. So we'll do more about that next week. So as I close, I'll tell you about what happened to us. As we closed up, I think our last meeting, I brought up a phrase that we have used for many, many years, but it's kind of lying dormant over the years, and that's this. We want Majestic to be your place to call home. We want every person to connect with Jesus, but we want you to see Majestic can be your home. A place where you would be loved and you would love. A place where you would be cared for and you would care for others. A place where you would serve others and others would serve you. A place that if you need rest, it would be a place of rest. It's a place to bring friends to and let them see what God is doing in our midst. It's a place to be challenged and encouraged. It's a place to practice the one another's. We said last week, you can't do the one another's without being with one another. You can't do those. The 30 or more that are in Scripture, in the New Testament. You can't do them without being with one another. And it's a place for you to be sent from. Because what? You are sent. All of us are sent. Called to be ambassadors of Jesus Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:21. So as we embrace this new statement, through our theme, we've been doing that through our theme, Stepping Up, Stepping Out, this year. We've encouraged you to step up in your serve here, but also to step out and to reach those who don't know Jesus and you want to come to know Christ. How are you going to take the next step? Maybe for you, it's daily time with Jesus. I need to spend time with Jesus daily. Maybe you're going to come up with a Bible reading plan. Maybe you're going to write out your prayer list. I can guarantee if you'll write out your prayer list, your prayer list will increase exponentially. Because you know what you're praying for. And you get up and get out of bed. And you sit there. And you read it out loud. And you have a prayer list. Your prayer list will grow exponentially. How about sharing Jesus with a friend? Or maybe fully honoring your spouse or your family. How about getting involved in a serve to our children here at Majestic Baptist Church, so that they come to know Jesus Christ? Two weeks ago, I was at the Southern Baptist Convention in Indianapolis. 11,000 people there in the big convention hall. And they asked us this question. How many of you came to know Jesus before you were 18? my guess is 10,000 hands went up. We have to reach children when they're young, and children reach their parents. So our ministry is very, very important then. So whatever next step is before you, it's a decision. And then stepping up, you have to step up and step out with intention, with discipline, purpose, and commitment. And I guarantee you, if you'll do that, whatever that next step is, it doesn't matter whether it's this big or this big. It doesn't matter. Whatever God's calling you to do, if you'll do it, the reward will far outweigh what it'll cost you. I'm going to ask our students to come up here. As they're coming from camp, they're going to come up here. I'm going to have a word of prayer for you. Father in heaven, thank you so much for what you did through this next step process. God, use it in our lives to help us know why we exist and what you want to do through us. Thank you for the team that put this together, worked so hard at it, the input we got from various people in our church. Thank you for what you did at camp as they now share about your good work in their lives. We're grateful for that. Thank you for being together today. Now, just in the next few minutes, just give us the patience to listen to the work of God. In Jesus' name, amen.